and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today is Tuesday of the last week in ordinary time, and from the United States, we hear from Sister Mary Ann Watts, a Dominican Sister of Hope living in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Her preaching today is entitled, Once Again, Hope, and the reading is from the Gospel of Luke.
And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, As for these things which you see, the days will come when there shall not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign when this is about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for this must first take place. But the end will not be at once. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. We know that today's reading refers to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, but can we also see it as a symbol of destruction in our own century? Can we see the temple with its noble stones and offerings as representing our beautiful planet, which, as we know, faces enormous dangers, if not annihilation, from the devastation that climate change is already inflicting on Earth? Or can the temple represent the good, the prosperous, the happy American years of long ago, and is our country now faced with the ending of our noble democracy to be thrown down in favor of a dictatorship? Think of this. The temple was historically destroyed. What is in our future? Or do we prefer to comprehend scriptures as commenting only on events in the days of Jesus? A recent essay quotes the Franciscan Order's founders. To be faithful to Jesus, the author tells us, they needed to incarnate Jesus' message in their time and place. And, following the path of his spiritual ancestors, Bonaventure discovered that he had to bring Christ into his own time by being a theological innovator as well as a caretaker of tradition. Interpreting the incidents in Jesus' life in terms of later history is not merely an exercise in imagination. From Commentary on John, Book 2, we know that the temple's destruction is well understood as a symbol of Jesus' own death, and it is difficult not to see the present-day violence in the Middle East, where Jesus spent his early years, prefigured in his prophecy of wars and tumults, when nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Jesus' words in Luke do not bring a message of comfort to us today. Neither do the ambiguous, some would say paralyzed, results of the synod, which, as it closed for this year, seemed to favor a static church. Nor can we find a sense of accomplishment in the ongoing and often vicious disharmony in some American politics. And how are we to judge the inhuman destruction of the Israeli-Hamas conflict or the worldwide examples of authoritarian obsession on the part of certain former presidents or prime ministers to take over and control governments? Listen to Jesus' warning. Take heed that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. Do we sense similar claims to absolute authority? We live in a time of animosity on the part of both religious and political leaders. Can we deny it? When Jesus' disciples asked him about the temple's destruction, "When will this be?" don't we need to give our closest attention to Jesus' answer and to apply it to our days? "The time is at hand," he told them. "Do not go after them." Does hope exist in Luke's text? We certainly don't derive a message of comfort from today's reading, but instead of understanding it as a hopeless message, we need to see it as full of hope. Hope flourishes only in dark times. Hope prepares us for life's crucifixions by reminding us of faith and love and ultimately resurrection. Hope does not call us, but commands us to be people of deep and urgent prayer. It isn't so much that we depend on hope. Can we consider the reality that the prayer-nurtured flowering of hope depends on us?